So Long and Lost, a work created for Pottogether 2025, written by Schwanenkönigin and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, The Devil Wears Prada. Relationship, Miranda Priestley / Andrea Sachs. Not rated. Warning for major character death. Additional tags, Vampire Miranda, Immortality, Future Fake. References to depression, suicidal thoughts. Summary. Miranda writes a letter to her late wife, Andrea. March 4, 2073. To the sweetest of all, my darling Andrea. I am sitting next to you. Strands of dark brown hair are draped across my shoulder, and your hands, they are resting in mine. I remember it, oh, so vividly. How you turn your head towards me, with a fire in your eyes that I can barely comprehend. When you kiss me, your lips scald my mouth. You burn me, I say, and you prove it. Your tongue demands to taste my skin, to spread the flames until they are everywhere, engulfing every inch of my body. My darling, you gave the most generous kisses. You gave and gave and gave, and I would have been foolish not to indulge you. And so I did, that night and many nights thereafter. Oh, and your excitement never faded. Your heat never dwindled. Never before, and never since, have I had the pleasure of feeling the likeness of your unrestrained passion. You have been gone for 13 years this month. Yet, still, every night I think of you. Whenever I lay my head down to rest, your face appears before me. I envision your smile as you climb into bed with me. For a moment, then, I smell your perfume, and I silently thank the powers that be for the bottle that you forgot in my bathroom. It must have been 600 moons ago, for it continues to gift me your scent. Indeed, for a fraction of a second, everything is exactly like it happened 1,000 times. You and I, together. I feel joy, happiness, because you and I are, and always have been, meant to be. And then I startle. Of course, it cannot be real. For I have not felt happiness, real happiness, in over a decade. One might claim that I do not remember what it is like at all, and I would be inclined to agree. It is a concept so foreign to me now, so strange, so bizarre, that it takes me by the roots of my hair and yanks me, violently, out of this silly recurring daydream of mine. Once upon a time, before we truly knew one another, I also dreamed of you, in a different way, one that would have made you blush had I told you the truth. For, oh, how I wanted you. Yet I thought I could not have you. I was your superior, after all, your employer, your instructor, and I was responsible for your future. How wrong it would have been to sleep with you. But I was mistaken in thinking so. You showed me that you wanted me right back, and with a fierceness which surprised even me. How ironic that things have come full circle, then. Now I dream of you once again. The difference is that today I know that I cannot have you, and with a certainty which haunts me every waking hour. For you only exist in the fleeting moments before sleep catches up to me. My dearest Andrea, you feel like many lifetimes ago, so many more than I have lived, and I have lived for the better part of 2 centuries. I imagine that you must have traveled so far since you were here, haven't you? Yes. Yes, you must have seen corners of the universe no spaceship or satellite will ever reach. But tell me this, my love, for I must know. Before your soul moved on from the shackles of this earth, did it search for mine? Did it stay for a while by my side? I, for my part, tried to reach out. I did. You cannot blame me for wanting to keep you here, my love, for wanting to keep our spirits intertwined. Andrea, do you hurt as much as I do? Of course not. Do forgive me for being so dramatic. You cannot suffer anymore. You are nothing but tiny specks of dust, a collection of atoms in the midst of a system made of trillions upon trillions of atoms, while I continue to exist. By the end of the year, I will have spent 2 centuries on this planet. Can you believe that I used to fit in? Why, I did my very best to do so, of course. I went with the times. I taught myself how to use new technology. I engaged in social activities, and I wore the proper attire as I did so. As the world evolved, so did I. My style, my gait, my hair, even my accent. Everything I did with one goal in mind. I wanted to be normal. As normal as any other human, or being, I suppose. I wanted not to be an outcast, not to be shunned, not to be avoided, but to be boring, I suppose you could call it, as inconspicuous as possible. I made sure to update legal documents and change my appearance when necessary, and I moved states or even countries whenever the need arose. Now that you're gone, I find myself unwilling to go to those lengths. What would be the point? Would I find joy in Wisconsin or Alabama, or perhaps in France? I doubt it very much. Andrea, my darling, without you, there is no point to anything. I am not lying when I say that I have not lived a single day since I lost you. I have merely been surviving. I do occasionally go out and hunt to sustain myself. However, it does not evoke the same feelings of euphoria as it once did. There is no thrill to it. I take my victim, I claim them, I leave them. There are no emotions involved. None at all. All that I think about while feeding is you. The hunger in your eyes, the perspiration on your forehead, how desperately I wanted to be your body underneath mine. Oh, how I crave for your flesh. How I wish to break it open with my teeth. How I long for it to be your rapid pulse thrumming underneath my lips. And, oh, how divine it would be to catch the stream of warm blood flowing from your generous veins. I miss terribly your little sighs and moans, the chills you would get, and the convulsions that would wreck your body once I was done with you. It is all about you, my every thought. How much better you were. You would not believe how awfully ordinary my prey is these days. I cannot bear it. You were, still are, so much better. Better than yesterday's, better than last week's. Better than anyone that came before you, and indeed, better than everyone that has and will come after you. I cannot believe that I was ever angry at you. It embarrasses me now to think about it. But I was, once upon a time. Because you dared choose your mortality over me. I felt such rage. I thought I would explode with the intensity of it. Outwardly, the fury may have only been there for a week, but the truth is, Andrea, and I might as well confess to it now, that on the inside, it lasted for much, much longer. Months. No, years. The remnants of it tortured me until your passing. It was only with your death that I finally realized exactly why you had chosen the way that you had. I gazed upon your lifeless body that night, crying. I was broken, hurt. The anger threatened to engulf me again. I felt it reach out. I felt it grasp onto me. I felt it try to creep into my pores. But I did not allow it. Instead, I looked at you, at your face. And I felt the anger that had been lingering melt away. At once, it was gone. Indeed, as I looked at you, I felt calm, happy. I felt your happiness. Your eyes were crinkled from years of laughter, and just seconds before, your mouth had been taken by one of those big, graceful smiles that I had grown to love so dearly. My dearest Andrea, my love. In death, you had found peace. And I remember feeling that same peace. I felt it in my chest. I felt it spread to my arms and legs and face and all the way to the hollows of my eyelids. I felt it crack open my skull and my ribcage, felt it take over my brain and my heart, and I felt it enter my bones. I had never felt so relaxed, so at ease, like nothing bad would ever happen again. So immune did I suddenly feel to sadness and suffering. I was overcome by so much love for you, my dearest Andrea, that I could barely stay conscious. But I did, and the feeling passed. I have tried, in so many ways, to achieve it again. I have clawed and scratched, have tried to force my way back into the state that I was in, physically, emotionally. Nothing works. Of course it doesn't. They were your emotions that I felt. And you, my darling Andrea, are no more. The ashes in my study are no substitute for the look of pure contentment on your beautiful face, and they will not teach me how to be happy again, no matter how desperately I wish that they did. What I'm trying to tell you, Andrea, is that I understand. I had not understood at the time, at all, but I do now. It makes perfect sense to me that you didn't choose me, that you couldn't choose me. Back then, I was mad that you would not leave what you had come to know behind, not even for me, your one true love, and that you would not give up what I believed to be stupid, insignificant, or irrelevant. I could not grasp the absurdity of your choice. How could you refuse immortality, something that is often, and not only literature, described as desirable or even irresistible? I truly had not expected that any mortal creature would, or could, ever say no to the prospect of living until the very end of time. But you, oh, Andrea, my darling, you are different, aren't you? You've always been different. You enlightened me. You told me I was wrong. You explained to me that the only reason that anything mattered at all was death. I struggled to comprehend your angle at first. I argued. I am good at that, after all. I have a way with words, as you most certainly know. I should have listened to you more carefully, should have tried harder to understand, instead of trying to prove a point I now consider so inane that it physically makes me ill. But, darling, what matters is not what was. What matters is the present. And here and now, I see why you were so insistent. I see why you did not back away from your stance. I see, oh, so clearly, why you defended your human ways, and death, in the way that you did. Because it is the only thing in the world that makes sense. Death. Nothing sounds as sweet to me as dying. Oh, I would die 1,000 deaths, if only I could be certain that they would end this dreadful excuse of a life which I have made for myself. Everything tires me, Andrea. Everything. I am exhausted. And the only thoughts I can busy myself with throughout these horrible mundane days of which my so-called life consists now are the memories of you. I replay them in my head, day and night and day. I have done nothing but since the day that you left me. Only you excited me, and you are gone. Your memories, too, will vanish one day, just like you did. And then what will I have? It is my strongest, deepest wish that my 200th birthday be my last. I will not walk the earth for another 2 centuries. No, I could not possibly. Not without you. 2 more centuries? Or more? Oh, the terror! Would only mean more suffering. More being reminded of what can no longer be. And I refuse it to be this way. I am not made for more years upon this earth, my darling. It must be over soon. I have nothing left. I have nothing. Only the memory of you, which I hold fondly in my bruised heart. And so I say, and I promise, it will be over soon. And when it is over, I will see you once again. Oh, the joy! I cannot wait. Until then, my sweet, yours eternally, Miranda. The end.